Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Deadlines in Hollywood podcast. My name is Amanda Nduka.
And I am Dino Ray Ramos. And we have someone so spectacular. If you don't know her name, put her name in your mouth because she is it.
Yes.
Her name is Dominique Fishback from the movie Judas and the Black Messiah. Also, if you haven't seen that, what are you doing?
Exactly. That movie, like, it pierced my soul. Like, it literally, I always say this, I've told this to, I've done a couple of interviews with Judas and Black Messiah people, and I always say that for some reason, I'll just be randomly doing nothing or doing something, and in my head, I'm saying, I am a revolutionary. And I'm like, it's like literally randomly in my head, I just keep saying it. That movie really stuck with me.
Yeah, and I think what Dominique brings, she plays Deborah Johnson, who is now known as Mama Okuya, who was the partner, right? Like a girlfriend of Chairman Fred Hampton. And what she does in this role, I'm gonna say, like, it's just phenomenal. And
yeah,
we need to be paying more attention to Dominique. I mean, she's been on a lot, but this one I think is game changer.
Right. Yeah. I know she's definitely, I mean, I remember like a couple of Sundances ago, I always say somebody came up to me, I think it was a publicist or something, and they were just like, have you heard of Dominique Fishback? And I was just like, no, like, you need to keep her on your radar. And I have, and everything that she's done, I mean, she's been in, she was in Power Project with Jamie Foxx and
Project Power.
with Jamie Lee Foxx. I mean, Jamie Lee Foxx. Who was Jamie?
Jamie Lee Curtis Fox. No,
Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. She's. If you go back and look at all the roles, she's killed all the roles that she's done. Like,
yes, like she was in The Deuce. Random Acts of Flyness, which love The Hate U Give. I think Night Comes On.
Yeah, you know,
it's she's just fun to talk to. And she taught us a lot about self-care and, you know, and kind of this energy, this kind of positive spiritual energy she brings to the conversation. I was just like, I was like, okay, I need to take care of myself and listen to myself.
I actually got lavender shower bath wash.
She could be.
It smells really good.
You know what? She could be the next Ianla to save my life.
No, seriously, guys, she's definitely a gem. One, like, she's the voice of her generation. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen Judas and the Black Messiah, please go watch it. It's on HBO Max, so you have no school. You might not have excuse. I don't know.
Steal your friends, steal your moms.
Now, but yeah. But without further ado, here is Dominique.
Hello, Dominique Fishback. Dominique the Fishback on the New Hollywood. Thank you for coming on the New Hollywood podcast. You're at Deadline.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Yes.
Yeah.
We're excited to have you. And me and Amanda are huge fans of Judas and the Black Messiah, which we will talk, we'll get into, of course. But yeah.
We're huge fans of you, period. Like, we've seen you in so many, The Deuce, Random Acts of Flyness. Project Power, which you were just talking about. Like, girl, you are killing it, and we love to see it. But
So like we, this on this podcast, we like to like just talk about everybody's journey because everybody has a unique journey to this business. So for you, I read that you knew by 10 years old that you wanted to be an actor. What sparked that?
Yeah, actually I originally knew when I was 8 years old because a theater company called Tada came to my school when I was in second grade and they had little kids doing musical theater. And I said, oh, I want to do that. So I auditioned for that company 3 times from age 8 to 10 and I never got in. And when I was 10, my mom said, Dom, you should try acting. You're so dramatic. I think you could really do it. And I would stay up late watching I Love Lucy. It was like, one o'clock in the morning at Comedy Central or something like that. And every time my mom, I would sleep in the bed with my mom and she would turn around and be like, you still up? And I would be like, yeah, you're gonna suffer in the morning. And eventually she kicked me out of her bed. But I used to watch, the Jamie Foxx show with my mom.
Yeah.
So she was really excited when I got Project Power. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So yes, okay. 10 years old. I kind of knew I would watch Sister Sister and I would take notes about how I would do it if I was a character in the show and just really just wide eyed, not knowing how to get there, but just knowing that I had a dream.
And did you have like a performer that you looked up to or that you sort of aspired to model your career off of?
Oh my God, I love Aaliyah. Aaliyah was everything to me. If you had anybody, like I still have a jacket from when I got when I was like 12 years old and I can still fit. It's a jean jacket. It has my name on top. It has her face on the back. My dad got it on Christmas and I still have that. I'm like, look, I still have that jacket. And I just loved even though she's doing music and she was going into acting and she was so natural at it in Romeo Must Die. And I just remember being like, wow, she kind of has my complexion. She's thin, you know, she's athletic. So she likes to wear crop tops, but has a baggy swag. And I feel like that's me. I was climbing fences with the boys. I was playing football. I'm a great quarterback. I was playing basketball. I was doing a lot of like athletic things and I still thought, well, maybe there's a femininity inside of me. I just didn't know how to find it. And I just thought Aaliyah was everything that I wanted to be.
And then
the anniversary of her passing, August 25th, 2018, I was in LA doing my first chemistry test ever. And it was with Jamie Foxx. And I just remember feeling like, Aaliyah, you got me, girl.
Aaliyah is like, ugh. I love her.
When you said that, the whole like, because I remember feeling very tomboyish and feeling like I wasn't feminine. And I honestly looked up to Lee and I was like, I wanted to be her because she embodied to me both of it. And I was like, that's something that I really admired. And it really made me confident more in like my tomboy because I played sports. I did all that. So I never used to tell people I played sports because I was always embarrassed because it was like, you know, not a girly thing to do. But like, honestly, I looked at Aaliyah and it made me embrace it. And I loved being that sports girl.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And even like along the lines of her music, like the hard like beats that she would do with her soft voice. And I actually put something on my Instagram because ever since I was younger doing spoken word poetry, people be like, oh, do you rap? And I'm like, no, I don't rap. And then I did Project Power and everybody was like, where's your rap? Where's your rap? So finally I just made my own version of Song Cry, but I'm playing piano and I'm doing spoken word. So it's kind of opposite. Like she had the hard beat with the soft voice. And now I'm just playing like, you know, a soft little piano with the spoken word and kind of trying to find my way, like all of my artistry, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, what's your favorite Aaliyah song? I mean, I know there's probably many, but what?
Okay. When I was younger, I definitely used to write notes to the little boys I liked. So I would think about 4 pages later. But I love I Don't Want to Be Without You. I love that song so much.
Now I want to just listen to Aaliyah for the rest of the day.
Can I come over?
Can I come over? Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no. I'm gonna listen to after we're done with this. I'm definitely turning on my Aaliyah. So I want to ask you, so when you were first sort of getting your feet wet in the business, what were your expectations going in? And then when you started working in this business, how did you because we all know Hollywood has issues, especially when it comes to black So how did you sort of manage those expectations until she had those times where, you know?
Yeah, you know, I kind of, to be honest, I mean, I went to Pace University and a lot of times I was the only Black person in my class. And so, and I would leave in high school, I would leave my high school in Brownsville, Brooklyn at 15 and go to Manhattan to NYU to like be in this acting program called MCC Youth Company. So I was getting a different dynamic all the time and really learning how to operate in the world a bit differently. I was in another theater program, like, and learning how people kind of take up space in theater too, because it's like, you know, contracts and all of these things that I had to kind of fight at an age that I didn't even know what I was doing, but I just had to go based off an instinct. But I always kind of, when I was 12, I used to say, God wouldn't make me this way if it wasn't supposed to happen. I know I'm gonna be a successful actress. Mm-hmm. And so I never really sold myself short in terms of what I could do with roles. I always felt like I had a whole world inside of me and I just wanted the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But navigating the industry, my first big TV thing was David Simon with Show Me a Hero.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to protect me and they really respected my voice. And so I kind of got spoiled thinking like, this is how it is, you know? And then I did the Deuce right after that with them. It was one TV show that I did, like a episode on a scene or whatever. It was like my very, very first thing, I think. And the AD was not very nice. And I had come from theater and I was like, I always wanted to do this, but what if this is how it is and I don't think I want to do this? And I got kind of sad, but immediately I had done The Affair with Dominic West and he was so kind. Mm. And I also, so this is not the industry, it's just certain sets and days, because that person could have just had a day. It didn't have to be representative of who he is or was or whatever. But I was saying, okay, maybe that's not the case. So I kind of started taking it project by project.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely had a hard time because, you know, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from East New York. And so when I feel like somebody's trying to take advantage of me, I'm like, you know, I kind of like, you can't do that. Even as a kid,
you gotta square up.
Yeah, right? You can't do that to me. And then as I started getting older, I started being like, well, I don't want to seem ungrateful. So then I stopped saying stuff as much. But didn't feel good about it. And all like, really kind
of. How do you sort of find that balance? Like, how do you find that? Because I think a lot of people struggle with like, you should be grateful, or should we be grateful, or and so when do you be grateful, and then when do you stick up for yourself? And
yeah, I think a lot with like people of color or people in the margins, we have this thing in our head where we're like, oh, we should just be happy we have a seat at the table, and that kind of thinking kind of fucks you up in this weird way, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta say, like I said, I started with this MCC Youth Company. And in order to act, you had to write your own stuff. So at a young age that my voice mattered, and they gave me enough respect that if a monologue that I wrote was too long, they would say, Dom, you got to cut it, but you know what you want to keep. So they never chopped it up and said, here, do this. It was like, you know, it's too long, so you take it and do what you will with it, but we, you know, like the direction. So it allowed me to know that my voice mattered, that I had something to say, and no matter where I come from or what age I am, I have, you know, relevance. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of kept that. I think in navigating this business, it would be like, I would talk to my friends, like, am I crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Did I come off like this? I would even have friends read an email, like, hey, mm-hmm. does that sound? And mm-hmm. I think that was based off of conditioning from other experiences that made me feel like me speaking up for myself was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know now that it's not, but I do a lot of meditation now and a lot of journaling to find out what I actually really care about. Instead of responding immediately, let me pause, let me meditate on that real quick, and then try to operate. But it actually took being a part of Judas and the Black Messiah to understand myself differently, to watch my castmates, watch people like Daniel kind of take up space. And he's always suggesting a book, and I'm always reading it and getting another gem. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can take that with me as I move along.
Oh my God, that energy. I'm loving your energy about you kind of just navigating the space. It's it's such a interesting industry, to say the least. but you know,
books like the Dynamic Laws of Prosperity by Catherine Kondo, The Secret, The Artist Way. I really try to tap into the idea of having control over my own emotions and my own thoughts. I just like have the battle, right? Like, like I could go into the same situation if I'm having a bad day and I don't meditate and I just let everything hit me, it's gonna feel like the whole world's coming down. If I take control and say, okay, it's not personal.
Right.
Then you suggested The Four Agreements, that book to me. And I read it and I was like, oh, it's not personal.
Yeah.
I've been able to separate those things.
Yeah, it's I'm glad you mentioned meditation. It's so funny. I just discovered this thing on Disney Plus called Zenimation. I don't know if it was weird because it's just they stitched together pieces from various Disney movies, no dialogue, and it's just kind of like an ASMR thing, and it's so calming and so zen. Like there's like this whole water thing where they just like kind of show scenes from Little Mermaid and Lion King and Moana.
Okay,
and it's called Zenimation.
That's
cool. Yeah. The title is pretty cool.
Right.
Yes. So I was listening to it and I was all, this is calming. So everyone look at that. But yeah, Dominique, you've been on The Deuce, right? You know, all these amazing shows and Judas and the Black Messiah. But what is your process when it comes to selecting roles or, you know, just, you know, finding a balance of what you want and kind of what is there? I mean, I know that sounds kind of weird because, you know, we're all, a lot of actors just kind of just try to get a role that, you know, they can get. But yeah, but what is your process when it comes to selecting roles?
Well, faith, right? Like, because that's really what I had from the beginning. Because even early on in my career, I would still pass on things. I never felt desperate to like, well, I'm not gonna say never, but a lot of the times that I would try not to be desperate for something if it didn't feel like it aligned in some kind of way. In terms of picking, I try to, am I leaning forward? Is there something in my spirit that wants me to do it? Can I defend that my choices to myself? And trying to remember that when I first started wanting to act, it was just because I wanted to take on many different genres and roles. So trying not to get caught in just drama or just really trying to say, okay, why do I want to do this? I want to do this because of this. And nice. Meditating and praying and really listening to my body, because if I read a script and I'm like this, then I know that there's something involved. If I'm more like this, then maybe it's not. And I have to do a little bit more of a deep dive into why and who's directing it, who's writing it. I got really spoiled, like even working with Jordana Spiro on Night Comes On. It's very collaborative. And even if there was times where maybe I didn't agree with something, I always felt safe with her and safe in the conversations that we were able to have. So I think a lot of times we're auditioning for people and for roles, but if we start thinking like they're also auditioning for us.
Oh yeah.
If we don't approach things in at least a similar way where we communicate level-headedly and try to get the best part for the character, then that's not gonna work either. And Shaka is a ultimate collaborator, Shaka King, the Black Messiah.
Yeah.
Because he said you couldn't. I said, you know, I have some thoughts, but I don't want to overstep. And he said, oh, you'd be playing her. You can't overstep. And he called them notes, and I was like, oh, okay. So now I'm writing a 3-page essay, like, okay, so or me and the other Dominique Thorne, who plays Judy Harmon in the movie, we're like in a hotel room, like, you think Shaka think about this? You think we should call him? Hey, Shaka, you on speaker with me and Tom? You know, and just really being like, we thinking about this. And anytime there was something like, if he didn't agree with it or if it didn't kind of align, he would say, I don't think that's it, but here's why. And I always talk about the here's why, because he gave respect to us as artists and as people that we were able to say, okay, and now we want to have his back. So now we'd be like, Shaka, we only saying this because we got your back. Like, now it's we all want to succeed together because mm-hmm. he's heard and appreciated for what we brought to these characters that he essentially cast us in. Now we're the sole advocates for these people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's talk about Judas and the Black Messiah. I mean, first off, you know, I want to see more from Shaka King. He is a talent, like, for real. And everyone, the whole cast, I was just, like, floored. And when I was watching it, I was just like, the thing that immediately stood out to me is, like, oh, why did we not learn about this in high school? You know? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad this story is being told. But with you, what did you know about the story of Chairman Fred Hampton and William O'Neill? Were you familiar with beforehand?
I was a little bit familiar, but I think we kind of didn't learn about that because the government was going to have to take responsibility for the fact that this was an actual hit, you know, a clear assassination from the FBI and the Chicago police. Like, there's no questions. Like, other leaders, you can say, was it them? Or, you know, even though we kind of know, but like with him is very straightforward. And he was 21 years old and they assassinated him because he was trying to unify oppressed people of all races and backgrounds. So so really to like step behind that and say, yeah, we did this. How can they say that? Yeah. So of course they had to bury it really deep. And I only learned about Chairman Fred when I was in college, when I was in the Black Student Union and I heard his speech. And I learned about Mama Kua, formerly known as Deborah Johnson, shielding his body at 9 months pregnant. And I was floored, and I remember watching her Democracy Now video talking about the event. But I didn't really get into it because at that time I was writing Subverted, which was my one-woman show. Mm-hmm. And I was, I think my world, I had a bit of culture shock. I think my world was being turned upside down because I left high school in Brownsville as valedictorian, but when I got to Pace, I was admitted in a program for extra attention for the from the university, like not even average.
Wow.
How could that be?
Yeah.
You know, I started learning about the discrepancies that we faced in food and like, you know, and the just the things that we had around us. And so I'm writing about this now. Like, and then a lot of times I'm the only Black person in my classes at Pace University, and I'm hearing people say things that they can't even possibly know. I have to go on a train and do poetry for money to stay in school, even though I was valedictorian.
Mm.
Not because of my grades that I can't stay in school. Like, this is, you know, like, so now I'm writing about the stuff that we're facing. Meanwhile, Tim and Fred's story is right there. Yeah. And I watched the Black Power mixtape. Mm. And I learned about Stokely Carmichael and Angela Davis and Asada Shakur, and I really had not learned about these people, and I was really upset by this. And that's why I'm thankful for Judas and the Black Messiah, because it's a tool. It's just a tool. Like, we don't hope that people look at it and say, oh, this is the facts and this is everything that happened. It's just, hopefully it sparks the mind so you can continue to do our own research and learn for ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was like, everybody needs to see this, because I mean, I was one of the people, I didn't know, I knew of Chairman Fred Hampton. I knew the story, but I didn't know all the little nuances. I didn't really even know about O'Neill's involvement. So just to see that, and sort of even like see these two different men who are seeing this way of being a Black man, like they both have their own definitions of what it means to be a Black man in America, just seeing how they both go about it. It is so important for people to watch and to understand the Black experience. But I want to ask you, because obviously you play Deborah Johnson, who Mama Akuya, as you were mentioning, she now goes by Mama Akuya. What did you do to prepare for this role? Because it just seems very demanding and very intense. And I know you got to meet with Mama Akuya and you got to talk to her. So can you just talk about what you did to prepare for this?
It feels like one of those things where you think like, I think I was meant to do it. I think the trajectory in my life, experiences that I've had, allowed me to know what gunshots sound like. You know, it's just things that I've experienced that I said, why do I have to learn that? I don't want to, you know? And then now it's stored in me to recall for a story like this. Mm-hmm. And then there's the fact that I was reading A Taste of Power by Elaine Brown, who was a Panther in the Oakland chapter, because I was trying to write my own Romeo and Juliet Black Panther Party-esque anthology series. Ooh. And then I had an email, yes.
Universe, like what? Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, and so I get an email saying that Shaka wrote this role, and Daniel and Lakeith are attached, and everybody, and I'm like, wow, manifestation! Like I'm manifesting this thing, and then met with Shaka, asking if the family was involved. We were working on getting the family involved. Read the script. Let me know your thoughts, and then. All of a sudden I'm writing a poem for the movie, and that is like, so I have to tap into that motherhood instinct that I don't have yet, or is somewhere in me. I don't know it in the physical right now, but somewhere inside I do. And so I had to lend my voice and my own imaginations to the story. Mm-hmm. And then it's so interesting because I didn't know that Chairman Fred would listen to Malcolm X and Martin's speeches in the morning. And apparently during his prep, Danny was doing the same. And it happened that around April 2019, I started doing that. And I didn't read it anywhere. I would just wake up and all of a sudden I'm listening to Malcolm every morning. And I'm like, wow. The way that he speaks is, you know, these interviewers are saying the most ludicrous things and trying to put words in his mouth, but he doesn't get flustered or frustrated. He remembers what they say, and he corrects it. And I said, I want to be like that. So I'm listening to these videos on Tidal, these speeches, and I'm meeting with Shaka along the year that we're getting ready to prepare and he's telling me what he's reading. I'm telling him what I read. I read The Assassination of Fred Hampton. They had Mama Kua had a book is out of print, but they copied it for me and sent it my way. And then a lot of it was journaling though. A lot of it was journaling and really trying to build up the emotional world. Watching Dane take up space. Chairman Fred Hampton had dimples. Does Dane have dimples? I'm writing poems about all of these things. Their first kiss, first time they meet. A lot of Nina Simone. I put songs to every scene that I have. And a lot of it I didn't want to go past 1969 in terms of songs. But a lot of Nina Simone, Do What You Gotta Do, Just Like a Woman, yeah. Blues, Do I Move You? Do I Move You was a song that I put for we call it the Malcolm scene when they first kind of get together a little bit. So I just used those songs and really journaled about every instant.
Yeah.
And that way, just for the hope that even if we don't see it or hear it out loud, that when she looks at him, you'll know that there's a whole world behind her eyes for him and for them.
Mm. Well, you know, I just want to say that there is one scene. I mean, can we talk about it? Spoiler alert? I don't know. It's out. Yeah. So if you're listening and you haven't watched it, that's your fault. But that there's just one scene that I just started bawling. It's the scene in the bedroom where you're in frame and we see the background and we hear gunshots.
Yeah.
And then we hear that scene said, I was just like, I can't. It was just so, but and you know.
Mama Kua, like she really allowed me to have free reign over the character. She only said that she did not cry. And that was very honored
that. Oh, that's dope.
Oh my God. But, chills.
Yeah, oh my God, chills. Also, I just drank a bunch of coffee. But but you know, obviously this movie couldn't come at a better time. You know, we've heard that so much, you know, and we're seeing so many, you know, these narratives come out. But, and it's like we mentioned, it's a history that has been buried. But how do you hope this story changes, you know, the landscape of social impact, Black lives, institutional racism, activism, and how do you think, you know, obviously Black people and a lot of people of color and people in the margins are going to be very much, you know, drawn to this movie. But what do you hope, you know, let's just face it, what white people get from this?
I mean, I kind of separate my hopes from what white people get from it, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm more so happy that the family feels honored, and that the Black youth get to see that we've always had heroes. Mm-hmm. We don't really get to see that. We've been taught something different. And the fact that, you know, the Panthers were extremely young. They were 19, 20, 21. So I love the quiet moments that I get to share with Daniel in the film, because it allows for us to see a different side. Because sometimes when we see our heroes or we see them on podiums, they seem larger than life as they are, but they're still human. Mm-hmm. And if we get to tap into the human parts of them, then we see that, oh, we can really make a difference. Mm-hmm. We can really make a difference. And Chairman Fred Jr. says people's political paws are open now. And I think that's a great place to be.
And I think if anything, it's a devastating story, obviously, but it's also a story of hope. And I think also it fuels inspiration and lights a fire in people's belly.
It's a story of love, and I don't even mean just on a romantic level. It's like for the love of the people, for the love of your community, for the love of yourself.
And I loved how the movie kind of just touched on the Rainbow Coalition and just kind of, you know, especially now there is a divisiveness sometimes, you know, I keep on talking about this in the past couple of days, but about, you know, the violence against Asian Americans, and then like the Asian American community and Asians' relationship with the Black community, and how divisive that has been in the past. And to hear people infighting, and then people are like, oh, well, that's kind of what the dominant system wants. They want us to take each other down. Mm-hmm. So it's like, to see the Rainbow Coalition covered, and just to see this movie was just like, it gives me chills and it gives me hope. And
it's important. These things are important, you know?
Yeah, because last year when everybody was marching and we saw so many people from different backgrounds come out and like across the world. I remember seeing, I have a friend who's from Syria, and you know, they have the war, the Syrian war that's been going on for too long. Been extremely devastating, and still in the rubble, they painted George Floyd's face and he said, "I can't breathe," and they said, "Black Lives Matter." And it moved me deeply, because we are all connected. Yeah. And that's what Chairman Fred said. If one of us is oppressed, we're all oppressed.
There you go.
Yeah.
And just uniting people under that umbrella was really profound. It was so ahead of his time. He was 21 years old. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine what he would have done, or what he would have been thinking now. He's like light years ahead of us, right?
Like, he was. And he also was like, when I was 21, I was a damn fool. I was just like, I wasn't doing anything. I was, but you know, he just kind of makes you want to be a better person and better your community. And I like that.
You know what else I wonder? I wonder what he would think about all this awards recognition. Because, you know, he was like anti-capitalist. Like, what would he think of this now?
I can't even pretend to know. Yeah. Today I was doing some like UK press, and it was just profound how this one woman introduced the story. And I said, wow, it's taken over 50 years for people to really know Chairman Fred. And I'm in a small way, we're helping to honor him and remember him. It's been a long time coming, and he deserves, you know? It's nice to hear people saying his name, to hear people from my community saying his name. I'm happy.
Dominic, I have to say, it's been great watching your career. I remember when you came to our studio in Sundance for Night Comes On, and I remember people telling me, you need to watch this girl. So of course I did, and you've been killing it. Everything that you've been in has gained some type of acclaim. It has just been wonderful seeing you go through your career. And I have to say that other people are noticing too, We just had Regina King on yesterday, and she gave you the biggest shout out. She was just like, I don't remember, I wish I remembered the exact words that she used. I don't know if Dino, if you remember, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was just lauding you, so, yeah. But yeah.
She was like, I want to work with her, like, tell her when you say, like, I really.
Oh, wait,
Oh, shoot. Wait, David, can you play it? Oh, you're on mute.
My heart is like.
Wait, can we hear it?
I love Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yes.
Yes. Guess who's on our podcast tomorrow? We're having Dominique.
Dominique. Yes. Love her.
She was, it's so funny. I watch things now and I go, okay, I have to figure out how to work with that person. So she's can great. You tell her for me?
Yes.
She is simply awesome. I cannot wait to meet her one day, and I cannot wait to work with her.
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at us connecting people.
Thank you. Yes. No.
Wow.
Yes. So, girl, we are watching and we are loving that you're doing. So
can we expect?
With that
Regina's said, gonna be calling. Regina's gonna be calling.
But well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that with me. Because it's actually been hard to, I never really allowed myself to let things seep in. I always like, on to the next. And for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm allowing myself to be present in the moments and to say, we have one life to live. And I appreciate you guys sharing that with me. It really does mean a lot to me. Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. I mean, like, we're in this business where it's always on to the next one, right? It's just like we always move forward, and yeah, and so like we love kind of when guests champion each other, and
yeah.
And Regina was like over the moon for the movie, for you, for Shaka, for everyone. So yeah. Me and Amanda just like to connect people and make dreams come true.
Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Wow.
Of course. Oh, so what's next for you? What can you share?
Well, so I've been endlessly trying to get something to happen with Subverted, with my one woman show. Although it's a theater piece, you know, where we're trying to navigate the new world in terms of like how we put things out. And I have a very special person that you guys will be happy about, I think, that wants to help me with it. So we're just
Is it Regina King?
Yay! Oh no, I want to see it. I'm so excited. Yes. Okay, so is there something that you haven't done yet within your career that you're just like you're itching to do?
Yeah. Originally I would have said romance, like a romantic drama, but now even though that wasn't the whole movie, the romance, I really felt like I got a real great take. I mean, it's the real life true love.
Yeah, right.
And I get to inhabit that love for a little while, and I get to hear Mama Akua say that it brought her back or whatever it is that she felt, then I felt like, okay, before I was like, give me a romance, banging down doors. And I'm like, okay, maybe I don't need the romance right now. Maybe I could. So really, I mean, I got to do Project Power, which was a little bit more action, but definitely want to show some more of my athletic skills and do some comedy. I love I Love Lucy and New Girl. I was saying, I feel like I'm the Jessica Day of the hood, you know?
You're so, for a new girl moment.
Yeah, I love New Girl. So I'm just like, where can I find that kind of character for me where I could make sure that I'm always having a good time, that I'm playing, that I don't have to take everything so serious. Yeah. I want to have a good time. I really do.
Have they said anything about a Project Power sequel?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Okay. We have to ask. This is deadline.
I haven't heard about that. Okay. But I do also like, I don't know if you guys read Children of Blood and Bone.
Yes. Are you in that movie?
Huh?
Are you in that movie?
Oh, I mean, you can speak it for me.
Okay.
Well, you know what, Tony? We make things happen here.
You guys make clearly make things happen.
Great in that movie. Yes, yes, yes. Let's make that happen, universe. Hopefully that project is still going. I know it used to be at Fox. And I feel like what's happening with all the Fox movies?
We don't know. It probably will still happen, but just under the Disney umbrella kind of ordeal. I don't know. Who knows? I just go along with it.
So we like to sort of end the interview with this segment we call the facts or the FAQs. Just sort of fun questions to end on. So the first question is, you mentioned this, you sort of talked about this already, but what are you doing for self-care these days? You
said I do divine feminine baths. I call them divine feminine baths, where I love lavender bubbles and candles, and I have a playlist that I listen to, and just try to show myself a little
love.
I'm gonna do that. I want to do more.
Yeah, lavender is so, like, it's calming.
I have the oil diffuser, which is also lavender. I OD with lavender. And then my little sister's 15, and during quarantine at first, I was staying at my mom's house because they were like, the world's shutting down. I was like, I'm going to be my mama, right? And then I was using one of the extra rooms or whatever, and I turned it into like a little spa thing, and I had the oil diffuser happening. And then my little sister's like, my mom lavender. I said, what is wrong with them?
Do you like lavender in food? Like when people like tinge it with food? I mean, there've been like lavender desserts and stuff, and I don't think I like there's rose water stuff. I don't like floral desserts.
I haven't tasted lavender.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I love mango gelato though. Mango.
Oh, mango! I'm down for. I'm Filipino, so I mangoes are life. So okay, here's a hypothetical. You're stranded on a deserted island. You live in a nice state of the art house. You live in it on the beach, and it's lovely. But you're only allowed one type of food and one movie as a form of entertainment. What are they?
Oh my gosh. Dang. What type of food? I'm gonna have to get a veggie burger as a fries.
Okay.
Because I always find that I need a little substance. So when I bite into a burger, I feel like, but I'm a pescatarian, so I don't.
Oh, so am I. I love me a veggie burger.
But I don't like Beyond or Impossible Burger. Like, please don't ever give me any.
I get nervous when I order them and they bring it and I'm all, is this real? Like, I can't tell.
That's the point, right? Isn't that the point?
Yeah. The movie, the first one that came to mind was The Notebook, but I love The Notebook. Classic, and he's getting out of my feet, and she's like, yeah. Like, I love that. But it has to be a movie. It can't be a TV show.
No, it did, because like a TV show, you could watch the whole series.
I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna put Friday.
Okay, that's a good one.
Regina King, yes.
Friday. I love Friday. I know all the words. You don't want to watch that with me, but it'll give me nostalgia for home. It'll make me feel like, you know, I always loved that movie because I felt it was so realistic that it was happening in like a one block radius, and you could walk down the street and meet a character. And that's how it was growing up. You would meet somebody else and out. And say something funny, give you a funny story, and keep it moving. So it will remind me of home. It'll be super funny, and I love that movie so much.
Yeah. Okay. A studio gives you a massive budget to write, direct, produce, and star in a film about an icon of your choice. Who would it be?
It's gonna have to be Asada Shakur.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm nervous. I'm like, do I live in the 70s or something? Because I hear smile.
Oh my God, you're right. You're drawn to the. Yeah. Maybe in a former life, you were in the 70s. Like a 70s disco queen.
I would have to try to get in contact with her first to make sure, you know what I'm saying, that she would want something like that. But I think that would be it.
That's a good one though. Well, since we'll just go along with the Regina King celebration. What is your, you know, you mentioned, you know, other projects by her, but what is your favorite movie by her or of her, or even series? Let's say even like, or performance.
I mean, I thought she was amazing in Watchmen. You know, I think everybody thought that, right? Like,
When we were talking, it's like what she can do is just out of control.
Or even just thinking about in terms of like the idea of typecasting, and I remember like not wanting to get into that and everything, and just watching how like she's done everything, and she really just keeps blazing her own trail and deciding what she's gonna, like, you know, so this like really flipped and decided that this is the type of artist, the type of actor, director that I am. Like, you know, she took ownership over her career, and I'm just like, I'm always inspired by her. Super freaking excited to.
So your agents will get in contact with her, and then you guys will work on a project together, and we'll break the news, and we will take credit for all of it.
Okay. Would you rather super sensitive taste or super sensitive hearing?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say nose. I can't do nose. Super sensitive taste.
That one.
Because it depends. When you're saying hearing, does it mean, is it like a superpower where I can hear through walls?
Yeah, or is it gonna like, bother you? Yeah.
You know, is it like,
okay, you could control it.
I don't wanna hear a dog whistle.
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of like you could control it if you had super hearing. Like you could, like Wolverine, I guess, you know.
No, I think I would stick with the taste only because I, you know, in meditation, we try to learn how to be in control of our own mind and not think about what other people have to like say, like how that affects us. And I think if I had the power to hear through walls or hear what people were thinking, I don't know, it might distract me. It might pull me out of self, you know what I mean? Like out of, or oneness, pull me out of oneness and like into self and be like, all right, what are you talking about? Like, you know what? I don't know.
Yeah. Taste is a good one because I am so like, I've been watching a lot of Top Chef lately and just what they do with their palates and like what they could taste. Yeah. It's out of control. I'm like, I don't drink, but like when people like sommeliers and stuff, like I could taste hints of stone fruit and twigs. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Isn't it just grape juice? But that's a good answer though. But wait, Amanda, what would you want?
I think I would do tasting too, because I like food, and I'm like, I would like to like taste like different types of food and the different ingredients and stuff.
That is a good one.
You're a foodie too.
Yeah, I just like food, period.
Yeah. I'm a foodie though, so I don't know why I picked taste. Like deciding what I'm gonna eat today and all that. I like it.
Yeah. We talk about it.
The hearing just bothered me. I was like, that's not
gonna. Yeah, hearing probably could get distracting because
I wouldn't want somebody to keep me up at night, like if I'm trying to sleep. I don't know. That's what I
thought. No, you could. Yeah, yeah.
You can control it, but yeah.
Because taste, you control what goes into your mouth and whereas hearing, it's like constant. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like bark, 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 bark. Okay, our final question is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, producer, creator, that is not in the mainstream or you think just deserves more recognition and shine?
Oh man.
If you have a lot, you could list them off, or a couple, or one.
Sheesh, my brain completely goes blank. I'm gonna be so upset because I feel like when I get off, I'll be like, no!
Like, was there somebody that you've recently worked with that maybe a lot of people don't know about that is just a dope work?
I'm just gonna shout out Dominique Thorne, who played Judy.
Yes.
And a Black Messiah. We actually went to the same youth company together, the MCC Youth Company. I was a couple of years out when she came in, but I remember going to see their show and just seeing her and going up to her and be like, what are you going to school for? She wasn't going to school for acting. But I said, you know, whatever you want to do, but this acting thing, you got it, you know. And then to see, to do this movie with her, and she's going to be Ironheart, right? That's what it is.
Oh, yes, the Marvel thing.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, is it? I know what you're talking. It's the Iron Man spinoff. I don't know.
It's like
Riri Williams or something. But she's got the big part in this Marvel.
So people
are gonna know her soon enough if they don't know her now. But her acting abilities just they transcend, and they're beautiful. I mean, even like getting to watch her and Judas and watching it on a big screen because the movie did open in Jersey. So I watched it. And just even there's the moment where they're all in the crowns where they got the green hats and they all trying to talk and trying to unite with the crowns. And then the guy comes close to Chairman with the gun and she just looks over. She looks up and down, or she looks the Keith character up and down when they kind of shout him out. And just even the looks that she gives tells whole
stories. Love it.
Whole stories. So I just want to shout her out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, this is my nerd coming up, but like, yeah, Ironheart is about Riri, who is this girl who, she liked Iron Man, so she developed her own technology to build her own suit. And she became Ironheart. And I am so excited for that series. And I love Dominique and you, Dominique, both Dominique Squared.
Yay!
Well, thank you so much, Dominique, for coming on. Like I said, we've loved watching your career and seeing everything that you've done. And we can't wait to see what you have in store. Congrats on Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yes, congrats on that. Congrats on your future project with Regina King, which me and Amanda will executive produce. and just your career. And we, like Amanda said, we love seeing people just glow up. Like, I love it. I love to see, especially people who deserve and who are talented.
Exactly.
So, and that's what we're here for, in Hollywood. So thank you so much, Dominique.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.